ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय
Reading in Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 8, Chapter 17. The Lord agrees to become Aditi's son. This morning, text number 9. My Lord, you are the all-pervading universal form, the fully independent creator, maintainer, and destroyer of this universe. Although you engage your energy in matter, you are always situated in your original form, and never fall from that position, for your knowledge is infallible and always suitable to any situation. You are never bewildered by illusion. O my Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. Srila Prabhupada's purport. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita Adi Lila 2.117 it is said, Siddhanta Balya Chitte Na Kora Alas Iha Haite Krishna Lage Sudhida Manas. Anyone trying to become fully Krishna conscious must know the Lord's glories as far as they are possible to understand. Here Aditi hints at these glories. The universe is nothing but the external potency of the Lord. This is confirmed in Bhagavad Gita 9.4 Mayat Tam Idam Sarvam. Whatever we see in this universe is but an expansion of the potency of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Just as the sunshine and heat all over the universe are expansions of the sun. When one surrenders into the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he surpasses the influence of the illusory energy. For the Supreme Lord, being fully wise and being situated in the heart of everyone, especially in the heart of the devotee, gives one intelligence by which one is sure never to fall into illusion. Go to translation again. My Lord, you are the all-pervading universal form, the fully independent creator, maintainer, and destroyer of this universe. Although you engage your energy in matter, you are always situated in your original form and never fall from that position. For your knowledge is infallible and always suitable to any occasion, any situation. You are never bewildered by illusion. O my Lord, let me offer my respectful obeisances unto you. So in the purport, Srila Prabhupada quotes this important verse from Chaitanya Charitamrita. Siddhanta Balya Chitte Na Kore Alas Iha Haite Krishna Lage Sudada Manas. This is Krishnadas Gavi Raj Goswami. Translation here. A sincere student should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial, for such discussion to strengthen the mind. Thus one's mind becomes attached to Sri Krishna. Prabhupada in this purport says, anyone trying to become fully Krishna conscious must know the Lord's glories as far as they are possible to understand. So the instruction here, Siddhanta Balyat De. Siddhanta means ultimate conclusions, especially philosophical conclusions about the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Krishnadas Kaviraj Goswami puts this verse in a discussion of understanding philosophically who Krishna is. And he has been discussing the point that Krishna is the source of all incarnations and expansions. I'm trying to establish the position of Krishna. That Narayan expands from him, Shankarshan expands from him, all the others expand from him. He says, it's a little controversial in this. He says, others have said, different things, that Narayan is first and Krishna's expansion of Narayan and so on. So he's taking some time and space to establish the correct position of Krishna in relation to his energies, in relation to the universe, in relationship to the other features of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, in relationship to Supersoul, in relationship to Brahma Jyoti. All these things are there. This is Siddhanta. Siddhanta, the final conclusive truth. So he says, Siddhanta Baliye Chitte. These must be considered chitte in the mind by the intelligence. Na kare alas, and don't be lazy about it. Actually, what he's saying here. Out of laziness or whatever, or thinking it's a controversy or thinking you don't need it for some reason, don't neglect. It should not be neglected. Understanding Krishna's position correctly by philosophical understanding, he says. Because, he says, by this method, he says, the mind becomes fixed, sudridha, very firmly in Lord Krishna. A sincere student should not neglect the discussion of such conclusions, considering them controversial, for such discussions strengthen the mind. Thus one's mind becomes attached to Sri Krishna. So here Prabhupada says, he's saying here in the expressions of Aditi, certain philosophical conclusions about Krishna. Vishvaya, she's in the form of an address here, unto Vishva. So here the Lord is addressed as Vishva, which means universe. Prabhupada says, not that we're worshipping the universe as God, but we should understand also the Supreme Personality of Godhead is also the universe, because he includes that universe within himself as part of his potency. So he can be addressed as Vishva. But then she says, Vishva Bhava Stiti Samaya Samyamaya, who is responsible for the creation, maintenance, and destruction of this universe. Svayam, who is fully independent at the same time. Prihita Purushakti Gunaya, who has the three modes of material nature and is completely in his grip. Bhumna, who's the supreme great. Vastaya, who is situated in his own form permanently, self-situated. Shasvata Pabrimita Purana Bodhivya Pati Atpatamase, who is fully and completely established in knowledge, which completely defeats or vanquishes the illusory energy. That is to say, he never falls into Maya, never falls down, there's always knows what's going on. So in this way, she's describing philosophically the position of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. We have to be convinced of this position. So I want to read this purport to this Chaitanya Charitamrita verse, because it's interesting what Prabhupada has to say about this. He says, this is important for us because one discovers that many times members of our congregation or people who come to Krishna consciousness, even though they were born and raised in India, have neglected such conclusions, and therefore they don't understand who Krishna is. They've even been worshipping Krishna all their lives. But somehow or other, their pandits and their gurus have not actually discussed these things with them. And therefore, although they are sincere, they become victim to Mayavad philosophy, and they can't discriminate who's a devotee and who's not a devotee, who's sincere and who's not sincere, which conclusions are right, which conclusions are wrong, and therefore their spiritual advancement is hurt. Fortunately, we've been taught by Srila Prabhupada, so we know these things, but they don't know. So we have to learn them from Srila Prabhupada. So Prabhupada says, there are many students who in spite of reading Bhagavad Gita misunderstand Krishna because of imperfect knowledge and consider him to be an ordinary historical personality. This one must not do. One should be particularly careful to understand the truth about Krishna. The whole Bhagavad Gita is meant to understand the truth about Krishna. Arjuna surrenders to him and he says, you are Param Brahma. You're not just a historical personality. And there's different ways people misunderstand. Of course, Western scholars want to say, you know, there was some king and some cowherd boy or something, and later on people told tall tales and became elevated. Whereas the Mayavadis, they'll actually say that Krishna is an ordinary person who, because of his realization or something, could be worshipped as the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The Mayavad conclusion is that we call Mayavad. Maya means illusion and Vada means doctrine or teaching. So Mayavad means the teaching that Krishna is Maya. Or the teaching that everything is Maya. Depends on how you understand it. Because their idea is the impersonal Brahman alone is real, and whenever there's a manifestation of variety or vishesha, then that's illusory. Therefore, their philosophy described as nirvishesha, that in transcendence there are no differentiations or variety. So that when we say Krishna is Boo, he's a person, this is Maya. So ultimately they're saying Krishna is Maya. So I had a discussion recently with some members of our advisory board over this topic because I saw that. We were having a discussion about the position of very famous Swami Vivekananda in the Ramakrishna Mission, whom all Indians revere as a great preacher of Hinduism. Especially this year is the 100th anniversary of his coming to America. He was the first Indian missionary to come to the West and be a big success. And so there's a certain amount of up until that time, India was considered to be a totally backward nation that had nothing whatsoever to offer to the world. And then there was a World Parliament of Religions in Chicago in 1893, and Swami Vivekananda came, and all these different people from different religions were sitting there trying to figure out, you know, what they had in common or anything to do. So he gave a little speech, 20-minute speech on Mayavad philosophy, and at least a number of people reported, wow, this is what we wanted to hear. He described how it's all one, and everything in all one, and all religions are different paths to the same face and place, and there's really just one impersonal Brahman, but it's manifest in different ways through the modes of material nature, but so we may be worshipping different gods in our different religions, but really it's all just kind of masks of the same formless, nameless, impersonal one. And he became quite celebrated very fast, went around and got a big following, started Ramakrishna Mission, and so on. So for Indians, this was like a landmark event. Part of it being, for the first time, being taken seriously. So there's a certain amount of nationalism, you might say, behind this idea. So he's widely revered. Unfortunately, he's preaching Mayavad philosophy. He was a disciple of this Ramakrishna, who was a priest in the Kali temple in Calcutta, an illiterate village person. But he got Vivekananda, who was educated as his disciple, in the form of the Ramakrishna Mission. And they often preach that bhakti is the highest way. Meaning that it's the best way to impersonal Brahman realization. that you form and you perform devotional service, but at the end you merge and become one. In the back of your mind, you know that you are God. But for the purposes of spiritual advancement, in any while you're in Maya, you pick a god to worship. This is their notion of Ishta Devata, their understanding, one's chosen deity, which could be anything or anyone in purpose. I mean, Ramakrishna himself put his wife on the altar, worshipped her as Kali. The Ishta Devata, or Devi, and worship that, and you'll all come to the same place. This is the notion. But he has written books on Bhakti Yoga, and when you get in the mood of a devotee, you pretend as if you're the devotee and God is God. That's the idea. So you kind of role play as a devotee until you get advanced enough to whip off the disguise, neti, 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 chop Krishna into pieces and take his place. At least that's how it appears to me, a certain element of you worship. Just like in businesses sometimes, a junior member, the partner, may serve very carefully the senior partner, learn everything from him, get his favor, come very close, and then pull off an office coup where the guy retires at an early age and he takes his place. So a similar sort of thing happens in Mayavad philosophy when they practice devotion. And their idea is to become God. So people don't understand. So they'll say, oh, there's this Vivekananda, he's a great devotee. Because you can read so many passages. And they really don't have the philosophical discernment to understand what he's saying. If I was telling these board members, no, he actually says Krishna is Maya. Oh, he doesn't say that. They're shocked. You know. He does. I happen to have first learned Hinduism from a disciple of Vivekananda, Swami Nikalananda, who was teaching Hinduism at the university I was at. So I know very well what they were teaching because I accepted it. I didn't change my mind until I met the devotees of Krishna. But they didn't even know. They didn't even know. So they haven't learned, they haven't understood the truth about Krishna. Even though they're devotees, still this contamination is there. So Prabhupada is saying we have to learn. If because of laziness, one does not come to know Krishna conclusively. And this is all we can understand from Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita means we come to know Krishna's position conclusively and we surrender to him because we understand his position. If we don't surrender to him, it means we haven't understood or accepted. But the consequence of understanding who Krishna is that you also understand who you are and you understand what your relationship is. And then you have to act on that understanding. So many people read the Bhagavad Gita, but still they don't understand it. If because of laziness, one does not come to know Krishna conclusively, one will be misguided about the cult of devotion, like those who declare themselves advanced devotees and imitate the transcendental symptoms sometimes observed in liberated souls. Although the use of thoughts and arguments is a most suitable process for inducing an uninitiated person to become a devotee, neophytes in devotional service must always alertly understand Krishna through the vision of the revealed scriptures, the bona fide devotees, and the spiritual master. So it says, thoughts and arguments, rational exposition and arguments, is a most suitable process for an uninitiated person to become a devotee. This has to be reason and argument based on what? Not speculation, but based on revealed scriptures, bona fide devotees, and spiritual master. So we have to understand Krishna from these authorized sources, and then using reason and argument persuade people to understand Krishna and accept Him. Unless one hears about Sri Krishna from such authorities, one cannot make advancement in devotion to Sri Krishna. That's what he says. The revealed scriptures mention 9 means of attaining devotional service, of which the first and foremost is hearing from authority, Shravanam. Who are you going to hear from? It has to be authority. The seed of devotion cannot sprout unless watered by the process of hearing and chanting. One should submissively receive the transcendental messages from spiritually advanced sources and chant the very same messages for one's own benefit as well as the benefit of one's audience. Hearing and chanting. When Brahma described the situation of pure devotees freed from the culture of empiric philosophy and fruit of actions, he recommended the process of hearing from persons who are on the path of devotion. Following in the footsteps of such liberated souls who are able to vibrate real transcendental sound can lead one to the highest stage of devotion, and thus one can become a Mahabhagavata. From the teachings of Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to Sanatana Goswami, we learn Shastra Yuktye Shunipuna Vridha Shraddhayana Uttama Adhikari Se Taraye Samsara. A person who is expert in understanding the conclusion of the revealed scriptures and who fully surrenders to the cause of the Lord is actually able to deliver others from the clutches of material existence. So, expert in understanding the conclusion of the revealed scriptures. So, Prabhupada has presented so many books for our becoming expert in understanding the conclusion of the revealed scriptures. It's not a sentimental process. Otherwise, what you see is sentiment. That will not deliver us. Sri Rupa Goswami in his Upadeshamrita advises that to make rapid advancement in the cult of devotional service, one should be very much active and should persevere in executing the duties specified in the revealed scriptures and confirmed by the spiritual master. Accepting the path of liberated souls and association of pure devotees enriches such activities. Imitation devotees who wish to advertise themselves as elevated Vaishnavas and who therefore imitate the previous acharyas but do not follow them in principle are condemned in the words of Srimad Bhagavatam as stone-hearted. So we have to be afraid of this. This is what confuses people. Imitation devotees. So they may ape the external symptoms of pure devotees. They cry, they roll on the ground, they scream in apparent ecstasy. But we discover that they're not really following. They're called stone-hearted. Srila Vishwanath Chakravarti has commented on their stone-hearted condition as follows. Bahir asu pulakayo satur api yad dridayam navikriyeta natam ashmasharam kanishtarikaranam eva ashru pulakadi mattaipi ashmasara pridayataya nindaisha. Those who shed tears by practice, you can learn to turn them off and on again. Those who shed tears by practice, but whose hearts have not changed, are to be known as stone-hearted devotees of the lowest grade. Their imitation crying, induced by artificial practice, is always condemned. The desired change of heart referred to above. What is the change of heart, he's saying? When we see, what is the actual idea that the heart is melted with love for Krishna? And not just there's some practice or some sentiment. I mean, people can cry when they watch soap operas and all kinds of things will induce tears, but those are not transcendental tears. And also people can turn the pastimes of Radha and Krishna into essentially soap operas and get but their hearts have not changed. So what is the symptom of the change of heart? Is visible in reluctance to do anything not congenial to the devotional way. Will not accept any kind of sense gratification, will always remain engaged in Krishna's service, reluctant to do anything that is not in Krishna's service, completely free from desires for material enjoyment of any kind. These are some of the symptoms, actually, that you have to look for. To create such a change of heart, conclusive discussion about Krishna and his potencies is absolutely necessary. That's a statement. That's why we try to understand Krishna so much from Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita. Not because we're interested in becoming merely philosophers or understanding things in an academic way, because we want to bring about the change of heart, but that will not come unless we actually understand who Krishna is in a conclusive way. So he says it's necessary. Krishna and his potencies. Just like here, Aditi, she's understanding his potencies. Grihita Puru Shakti Guna. You completely have, you have the Shakti Guna, the modes of material nature, completely in your grip. She understands his positions. So, Swastaya, but you're above the modes of material nature. Your intelligence remains completely and eternally fixed and complete, and although you control these modes, you never come underneath their influence. She understands his position. Even though she addresses him as Vishva, as a universe, she does not become, like the Mayavadis, a pantheist. And I think Krishna and the universe are wholly identical. This is a correct understanding. So it's necessary. False devotees may think that simply shedding tears will lead one to the transcendental plane, even if one has not had a factual change in heart. But such practice is useless if there is no transcendental realization. This refers to some practices like this, or people who are still contaminated by the modes of material nature will engage in meditating on the conjugal pastimes of Radha and Krishna and get themselves, by kind of method acting, into the mood of Radharani or something like that. This is called the Sahajiya. They haven't had the change in heart, but still they're going to put themselves in this position and pretend to be some gopi or something like that. Sometimes they even dress themselves up in saris to make it more real. So this is going on even within a few miles of here. Such a temple. Not just too far off Vrindavan. False devotees, lacking the conclusion of transcendental knowledge, think that artificially shedding tears will deliver them. Similarly, other false devotees think that studying books of the previous acharyas is unadvisable, like studying dry and empiric philosophy. Oh, we're in ecstasy. What do we have to use for this stuff? We want to love, you know, this kind of stuff. But Srila Jiva Goswami, following the previous acharyas, has inculcated the conclusions of the scriptures in the six theses called Shatsandarbhas. But they went to the pure ecstatic devotees, the six Goswamis, and they took the trouble of studying and reading and writing these literatures. So if one wants to follow Lord Chaitanya correctly, you have to follow the six Goswamis. False devotees who have very little knowledge of such conclusions fail to achieve pure devotion for want of zeal in accepting the favorable directions for devotional service given by self-realized devotees. Such false devotees are like impersonalists who also consider devotional service no better than ordinary fruitive activities. So they're not exactly impersonalists, although sometimes they tend to be. They're a kind of devotees. So this kind of thing can be a ruination of your Krishna consciousness. So therefore these discussions, he says, it should not be avoided out of laziness or you have all this controversy, this dry study or whatever. We just want nectar, we want to go for the ecstasy, all this other kind of stuff. But you'll discover this attitude is there. He says they strengthen the mind, and in this way we become attached to Krishna. Any questions about this purport? Yeah?
When someone who's changed with Mayavada philosophy, even if they've taken Krishna as Maya, but they perform bhakti yoga now, how does Krishna accept that they bow down before the deity or chant? Or what does he accept this at all? Or?
If they're Mayavadis, they are big, big offenders. So Mayavadis, if they actually have the chance to understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, and still they persist in being Mayavada philosophers, Mayavadis, then they're considered the biggest offenders to Krishna. So how will they make advancement by being big, big offenders? Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati says they take birth as stones and trees for being so greedy. Now, if they haven't heard the truth about Krishna, they don't know the real philosophy, if it never occurred to them what actual truth, then it's another thing. Then when those people, they hear about Krishna, then they'll accept. Most of us who came to this movement, or many of us, were Mayavadis, because we didn't know there was any other position. And that's what we've been taught and heard. And we thought that, Krishna's a symbol. And, of course, you can't limit God. Various things like that. It's just a symbol. And we want to go beyond Krishna to something, unnameable, indescribable, ineffable, and so on. So you may think like that, but then when you hear the truth, you accept it. But those who hear the truth and then persist, then that's another thing. And there's a difference between a Mayavadi and a Brahmavadi. Brahmavadi may be somebody who's pursuing impersonal Brahman. This is what you see in the Upanishads. The position is there. People who are pursuing impersonal Brahman. But they don't have the philosophical conclusion that Krishna is Maya. So they don't create an offense. And so such Brahmavadis, like the four Kumaras, when they come into contact with Krishna, they also become devotees. Or Shukadeva Goswami.
Mayavadis that accept the Bhagavad Gita, how did they get around the verse that those with no intelligence think that I was impersonal before and now assume this personal form?
Yeah. I don't know. I have to look and see what Shankaracharya's purport is. Avyaktam vyaktam apanam manyam te mama bhutaya. Some word jugglery is there. Yeah, I don't know specifically how they try to get around it. I know some of the things they do, like when Krishna says Brahmano hi pratishtaha, I am the basis of Brahman. Well, you'll notice that later on in the Bhagavad Gita, I forgot which chapter number, Brahman is described as the total material nature. Right? That's another meaning of the word Brahman. Isn't that right? So then Shankara says, this is what Brahmano he means. I am the basis of the total material nature. And that's how he applies it to that verse. But then you have to look, well, what's the verse immediately, and look at the context. The other verse immediately in front of it says that how's it go? Vyavacharena bhakti yogena sevate sagunan samati chaitan brahmagunaya kalpate, that one who performs unflinching devotional service unfailingly in all circumstances transcends the modes of material nature and comes to the level of Brahman. Then Brahmano hipati, and I am the basis of that Brahman. So here in the previous verse, Brahman clearly means that which transcends the modes of material nature. How in the next verse is Brahman going to mean the modes of material nature? So those kinds of things are going on. So I'm sure there's some way of concealing the meaning of the verses. Vyaktam vyaktam apanam manyate mama buddhaya. I can look it up if you want to know.
Yes. But is it that Krishna is Maya? Why do they worship Krishna and not Maya?
Why do they worship? Well, because he's in the mode of goodness. You know? So you elevate yourself to a certain point. But you can worship anything else. Usually, though, they worship any a demigod. The three processes are there that Krishna mentions, that those who are not Mahatmas, they worship themselves as God. They worship the demigods as God. Krishna says they worship me as one without a second, diverse and many in the universal form. So sometimes they worship themselves as God. I am Brahman. There's actually a process called Ahangranopasana of self-worship, worshiping yourself as God. Which most people do anyway. They stand in front of a mirror, decorate their bodies, admire them, offer puja, bow down in awe and reverence. It's been known to go on, even in various circles. A sort of a narcissistic impulse. Well, anyway, there's a hunger no positive. They actually meditate upon their own body and identify with the divine. Prabhupada says, when we meditate on our own body, we do it when we apply tilak. We also have that system of meditating on our body, but when we apply tilak and then consecrate all the parts of our body to the service of the Lord by that meditation. Anyway, so that's a hunger and upasana, their process. Or diverse and many. They worship everything as God, but generally they will pick a demigod, one of the demigods, and say, and that philosophy is, you can worship Krishna as God, or you can worship Ganesh as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or you can worship Kali as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, or Jesus. But then, you know, so then they get a little more universal. Well, who are the gods? Well, you know, Elvis Presley. I mean, you could, in principle, extend it fairly far. I mean, there's an interesting sort of thing that happens in India between certain Bombay film stars who also play the role of various demigods or gods in the films in India. And because of this tendency, they actually tend to get deified by certain village people. So that goes on. I worship the demigods. So that's the idea there. So somebody big, elevated, important, you know, bigger than we are, you worship as God. So that's why. They think that by worshiping Krishna, you know, he's somebody great and in the mode of goodness, so they'll worship. And then, of course, the universal form, they'll worship the universe as God. Yeah. Okay. Any other questions on this? So we have to understand this clearly. Prabhupada says here, one of the points he makes in the purport to this verse today in Srimad Bhagavatam, Krishna's position here is established above the modes of material nature. Prabhupada says, when one surrenders under the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he, that is the one who surrenders, surpasses the influence of the illusory energy. How does he surpass it? And this is how he protects. Remember yesterday we were discussing how the Lord protects his devotee. For the Supreme Lord, being fully wise and being situated in the heart of everyone. So we should understand that. He's really, really smart. He's so smart you can't conceive of how wise he is. And he's in our heart. So it's not as though there's no access. And people want to, you know, take their computer and hook into a, you know, big mainframe. So essentially, every soul is like a little tiny computer hooked into the, you know, this gigantic, infinite, super mainframe. It's actually the super soul. So we're linked up. So the Supreme Lord, being fully wise and being situated in the heart of everyone, especially in the heart of the devotee. What does that mean? He's in everyone's heart, but especially in the heart of the devotee? Because there the link is established. There the devotee is open to receiving instructions from Krishna. Krishna is giving instructions for everybody, but the whole world mostly goes on ignoring. But the devotee wants to hear what Krishna has to say. So therefore, especially in the heart of the devotee. So he gives one intelligence by which one is sure never to fall into illusion. That is how Krishna protects the devotee. When he says, my devotee is never vanquished, he makes sure he never falls into illusion. Of course, the devotee wants to be an illusion. He's a devotee, but still he wants to be an illusion. Then Krishna's method is different. There he has to make illusion so miserable that the devotee gets out of it. Therefore, he's very smart. If this person wants to be my devotee, but still he's attached to illusion, so I'm going to mess up his little fantasies in the material world. For that reason, some people who want to be an illusion don't worship Krishna. They go to somebody else who's not going to do him that favor. And that's their misfortune. It's time to stop. I'll go to Srila Prabhupada.